I've invited in Mark Fox. He is the member of the Metro Council for District 13, a longtime police officer in this community as well. Welcome back, Mark.
Good good to be with you again, Terry. It's been a little while. Happy birthday, belatedly. I hope you had a good one.
They all are. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm back. Every day's my birthday. That's the way I look at it. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's cover some more of the issues that are percolating throughout the community. You are chairman of the Public Safety Committee. Is that the right terminology?
That is correct. I was named chairman this year. The former chair was Councilwoman Jessica Green, and she was appointed day before yesterday to Jefferson Circuit Court. So she'll be leaving our body and going to the judiciary. So congratulations to her. I was named to be her replacement as the chairman of that committee.
You know, I'm a fanboy when it comes to Jessica, so I'll have to text her congratulations. I was unaware of this, so I will let her know.
Absolutely. I'm a fan, too. She's a wonderful lady, and she did a great job running this committee, and I had big pumps to fill.
Okay, clearly, public safety is an urgent issue in cities all across America. Mark, you spent all those years in the streets as a police officer. You know the feel of the streets, and I'll just ask you, is it more dangerous now, or is that in our collective imagination?
No, it's more dangerous now. It really is. Well, I fear we're paying a price for a dynamic that started way back in the 60s. Lack of personal responsibility, lack of accountability. You look at so many of these victims of our homicides last year, 197 of them, and I might add 641 criminal shootings. And while a lot of them aren't solved, I think about 35 to 40% are solved. You can look at the victims and kind of figure out who's most affected and who the suspect probably is. And most of those victims very tragically are young. I mean, they're kids, they're children.
Right.
16, 17, 18, 19 years of age, and some even younger than that have hit, obviously, the news media. You know, we've seen them as young as three getting caught up in catching around from a drive-by shooting. So it's a lot more dangerous, and, you know, it's a lot more dangerous to be a police officer. I went back and looked at numbers dating back to 2017, and with the 1 year of 2019, the numbers have risen in police officer deaths from 186 up to last year, which we lost 515 police officers across America. And, you know, when you attack a police officer, you attack an entire community. You attack its beliefs. You attack its values. You attack its sense of security. And, you know, that's where we are right now. And I think we need to turn back the clock a little bit and have some personal accountability, have some parents involved in raising these kids. You know, when we were growing up, Terry, the whole neighborhood raised you. And you come from a very large family, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But,
you know, your mom and dad, the neighborhood, and even on the playground. I mean, think about that. You get out of line on the playground, you know, one of your buddies is going to take care of you right then and there. And now you don't see kids on a playground because they're all sitting in front of an Xbox, and their friends could be states away or even countries away. And we're losing that human interaction. And I think at some level, we're almost getting to a point where it's just like you're removed from society, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, people are in their own bubble, that's for sure. But the issue with police, too, obviously you take the George Floyd case, it creates all the backlash that deservedly so, a police officer choked him out. And so then cops get labeled all across the board as, you know, they're demonized. And so do you think that's adding to this high murder rate against police officers and the brazen activity of people who have no respect for any law enforcement people?
Well, yeah, it is. You know, there's been some horrific things reported in the news, and like you say, especially in the George Floyd thing, you know, the offenders there got what's coming to them. there's three more police officers going on trial, I believe, the start of this week. But, you know, there was a conviction came out of the first one, and rightly so. So, you know, it's when you're a police officer or any public official, I mean, it's your duty to conduct yourself. You represent the community, and you've got to do that professionally, and you've got to do that with a sense of dignity. And, you know, so many police officers, good men and women, get painted with that broad brush when those things happen. And when you look at, like, here in Kentucky, you know, we got the pension problems.
Right.
We have an employment problem, too, just across the board. So when you look at our corrections department, when you look at our EMS, when you look at our MetroSafe, when you look at our police department, young men and women aren't being attracted to those careers anymore because there's not the promise of a good pension. And you've got these bad stories circulating and so much drama surrounding the job. Why would a young man or woman be attracted to that profession? And, you know, unlike the military, you can't draft someone and force them to be a police officer.
Right.
So when people start coming, I'm sorry, when they stop coming, what are we going to do as a community when we need to dial 911 and hope that one of those brave individuals shows up? So we're kind of got ourselves, as I said earlier, painted into a corner.
Yeah. Let's just get to guns now. All right. So people will make this point all the time, too. They'll say there's too many guns on the street. That's why these kids are shooting each other, and it's kids shooting. You referenced the 3-year-old. Her name's Trinity Randolph. She was assassinated by a guy who shouldn't have been out anyway. He went in and killed her dad and kills her. She's playing in her dollhouse and are just living her little innocent baby life. So we have a lot of depraved people who are out. Weapons are everywhere, but people rightfully point out and say, yeah, well, everybody in Tennessee's got guns. Everybody in Utah's got guns. Everybody here's got guns. They don't have murders like they do in big cities. What are we going to do in this medium-sized city to push back against that homicide rate?
Well, we have to, and I've said this before, and I catch a bunch of flack for this, but we have to get our police officers actively working in the community. We have to let them know that we support them in doing that. And when I say that, they need to be stopping cars and looking for guns where it's legal. And by that, I mean legal stops, constitutionally protected stops, which are good violations. A lot of these things are long guns. A lot of these things are rifles. And, you know, you simply walk up to a car that did not stop at a stop sign, which is a violation, and take a look in the car, see who's driving it, tell them why they were getting pulled over. If you see a gun in the car, then you can run the plate, you can run the person driving, and see if you have someone that's illegally possessing a gun, like a convicted felon. Because so many of these folks that our police officers, from what they tell me and what I experienced over the course of 30 years, you're getting guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them to begin with. Convicted felons, people with emergency protective orders, domestic violence orders, and stuff like that. So I really question the addition of new laws to control guns, because in my belief, when you pass laws, you only get the people that are compliant. And you know what? We already have a law that says don't take a gun and fire it into another human being. And last year, we lost 197 of those human beings.
And 600, like you said, 600-something more in shootings.
641 shootings that, by the grace of God and the talent of University Hospital, were not homicides.
Oh. And then there's always pushback. They'll say it's racist. You're picking on marginalized communities by stopping people. So that's the big challenge for police to know when they can approach and not get into a whole ordeal because you stop somebody and it turns out they didn't have a gun. And next thing you know, there's a lawsuit and we're paying $20 million to someone because their feelings were hurt.
Well, Terry, I wrote crime strategies for many of those 30 years. And your strategies are built around the crime numbers you have. If you're looking for an insider trader, you're going to look on Wall Street, not Names, Idaho. You're going to look where the problem is and build your strategy out around that. You know, your strategies in neighborhoods, for example, Residential burglaries occur generally between 9 in the morning and noon, when most people are at work, by a kid who's got school. So when you're building a strategy for residential burglaries, you're looking for a young man walking in the neighborhood during school time with a backpack.
Yep.
Sounds like we're getting a weather alert.
We are getting a weather alert. I'm going to have to stop us here. We're going to just have to pick it up somewhere down the road, Mark.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. Stay safe and stay warm.
Thank you. That is Mark Fox. He is a former police officer who now serves on the Metro Council for District 13. He's also chairman of the Public Safety Commission.